Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another version of the Trino Community Broadcast. My name is Cole Bowden. Joining me, as always, is Mr. Manfred Moser. Manfred, how are you doing today?
Good. Recovering from my trip to California to Google I.O. and getting back into the Trino swing of things, and it's cooking. Things are cooking.
Yeah, I'm recovering from my trip to still staying at home watching Iceberg Summit. So we've both been busy keeping up with what's going on in the tech world, but we've got Trino Fest coming up. We've got several different episodes of the Trino Community Broadcast on the calendar. So a lot to talk about, a lot to catch the Trino community up to speed on, and an awesome guest today.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome to talk about. Although I'm kind of like over AI already in a way. It's like everywhere. But then also, it's also super interesting. So I'm really looking forward to talk to Lisa shortly.
Yeah, it's AI is going to continue to grow in this world. And it's not going anywhere. I think we can be pretty comfortable saying that it is more of a trend than a fad. So hearing about the ways in which Trino can interact and engage with it is exciting for us and exciting for the longevity of a project interacting with new technology as it develops. But before we get back to that, we need to talk about what's been going on in Trino in the past.
Yeah, we got more releases out again. Crazy, huh? What's new about that?
So we'll run through the releases that have been going on in the last few weeks. In Trino 4.46, we added support for the Snowflake catalog in the Iceberg connector. Iceberg has several different catalogs, so making sure that we can handle all of those with Trino is very good. Support for reading S3 objects restored from Glacier storage in the Hive connector, so more data accessible once again. And then support for unsupported type handling configuration in the Snowflake connector. So if there are types that exist in your storage that Trino generally couldn't handle, you can configure how to manage those. In 4.47, we added support for show create functions. So SQL routines can now be viewed, which is a handy tool to make sure that implementation of those is as robust as possible. Manfred, you're very excited that we now require Java 22.
Yeah, because it enables a lot of cool stuff coming in. I've been chatting with Dane about his work on the air compressor library and the native code underneath that. And then we have a PR coming in for an integration with an LMM as well. And both of them like look like they're going to be needing or benefiting from performance from native code, and Java 22 makes that easy. And it's super exciting, I think.
Yeah, and it actually also marks that officially Trino is on the latest version of Java. We are now a modern Java engine. There is no later Java to update to. We are keeping up with what Oracle is able to create for the Java community. So that's really exciting that we're on the forefront of what's going on with Java development. On this next point, I think it's missing the word concurrent, but it's support for concurrent deletes and truncates in the Delta Lake connector. So if you and your pal are both trying to get rid of some data that exists in your storage in Delta Lake, you can now do that at the same time and it will not cause any problems, which
is not going to be doubly removed. It's only going to be once.
Exactly. Yes. That's what I'm saying. And you can delete different things at the same time, which is a big step up. We removed support for Phoenix 5.1.x and earlier we've updated the later versions of Phoenix. So if you're using Trino to query your Phoenix storage, then you're going to need to update that or don't upgrade Trino, pick your favorite.
Shout out for that, actually. Like, thank you very much for Mateusz Gajewski Wendigo for the work on that upgrade and also for all the help from the Phoenix community. We have some pretty tricky problems around upgrading Phoenix, and the project has been very helpful to work with us on that. That's been really good. Thank you.
4.48 has improved performance of reading from Parquet files and support for caching Gloom metadata with update to the V2 REST interface. So this is something that's less immediately impactful, but will cause a lot of improvements downstream now that we own Gloom metadata caching inside Trino. If it doesn't work, you can revert back to the V1 caching system. But there's more improvements coming down the line built on top of this. So that was Dane working on that. It is a massive pull request that's pretty impressive to look at. Also, a ton of bug fixes in Trino 4.48. So if you were looking for a version to update to, haven't updated yet, I would strongly recommend 4.48 just due to the massive number of fixes that are there. We don't generally highlight bug fixes, but there's usually a lot of them. So
yeah, all of those links on the show notes, the titles are the links to the detailed release notes. And yeah, there's always a lot to read through them, which is good.
And then Trino Gateway 8 and 9, Manfred.
Yeah, Trino Gateway 8 and 9. It's 8 and 9. Don't use 8 because we had a weird bug that caused the web UI not to be present in the artifact. So we cut 9 straight after. But It's very nice to release. We got lots of additional features and code refactorings. We're still very much busy on cleaning up the code base and improving it a lot. The major things for Twino Gateway 9 basically is that we have now configurable router policies and added two policies there. Specifically, if you look at the release notes, which I will do because it shows off the nice new website as well that we have, you see there's a router policy based on query count per cluster and then one for selected paths based on cookie content. So you can have cookies set and then that affects where you're getting routed to. So you have different clusters. So this is also the website that we now finally have. The content still needs improvement, but at least it's now a nicer looking website and not just a bunch of markdown files with a cobbled together navigation. So this is improved. And also, not least to add, the Twino Gateway now has a Helm chart as well. Thanks for Starburst and Will Morrison on that contribution. So lots of new cool stuff there. We also had a Twino Gateway synced this morning, and we're already planning a whole lot of more further improvements. So the project continues to go and move pretty fast. So it's really, really good for everyone wanting to adopt it.
Yeah, and for those of you who haven't maybe encountered the Twino Gateway before, it's a tool for load balancing and the proxy for many different Twino clusters. It's great, especially if you want to have one cluster for analytics and one cluster for fault tolerant execution. It can simplify your stack, get rid of like using those longer running ETL engines because Twino can do it now. So the gateway is great for that. Or if you just have so much Twino work to do that you need multiple clusters. So check out the gateway. It is getting more and more mature with every passing day. It's a really great tool.
Yeah, crazily, we'll be the double-digit release number soon.
Yeah, it's only getting better. Also worth mentioning, Jan Moss is now a sub-project maintainer of the Twino Go client and the Helm charts. So congratulations to him for getting that designation. I think our third or fourth sub-project maintainer in the history of Twino. So
yeah, Jan has already been sub-project maintainer on the Grafana plugin. And he's now taken on the Go and Helm charts as sort of like his like additional response. I don't want to call it responsibility because a maintainer still has to like, you know, do his day job to some degree, but he's doing a lot. Jan has really been ripping into the Helm charts and his expertise is very much appreciated. I love how he just keeps improving the Helm charts, and the Go client obviously is very performant already. So that's also a good feature to have. Although there's not that many Go client users, but maybe now they're coming even more. So that's cool.
Go's rising in popularity, right? So give it time.
Exactly. So let's shift over to something that you attended. Tell me more. What happened at the Iceberg Summit? What is it even?
Yeah, so the Iceberg Summit, this was the first ever Iceberg Summit hosted by, I believe, Dremio and Tabular were the two that had the most to do with it. But on the topic of open source Iceberg, where there were tons of talks coming from a wide variety of companies, large and small, about how they have deployed and used Iceberg. It was pretty open source driven. A lot of people, I think more than half of them, explicitly called out using Twino as part of their talks. So the stack of Iceberg and Twino is very, very popular and prominent inside the community, especially when you're trying to look for this open source tech stack where you want your storage format to be open source and then your compute engine to be open source. Twino really is the preeminent open source analytics compute engine. You know, there's not really a lot of competitors in that way. So most people are leaning on it to make this happen. It's tried and true, but still very performant. There was talk about catalogs at Iceberg Summit. There's an interesting talk from Ryan Blue about how his goals for Iceberg are for it to become a standard in storage where the Iceberg spec is what almost everything else follows. And then the thought is that if things go the way they want it to, that catalogs will be the competition in this world where the Iceberg table spec is expected. And then how you implement the Iceberg catalog is where there will be some wiggle room. You know, we mentioned the Snowflake catalog exists up above. So there's vendors competing for a slice of this pie already. And it seems to be that that is the way things are going. But of course,
isn't the REST catalog supposed to be sort of a standard that's part of the spec?
Yes, they were promoting the REST catalog as hopefully the core of open source. But then there's vendors that want to get some money out of it. So they implement their own catalog and try to sell you it. And of course, Delta Lake and Hootie still aren't going anywhere, I don't think. They both have their uses and are both pretty popular in their own right. But if you heard, if you listened to Iceberg Summit and just heard what the folks working on Iceberg had to say, they do think they're taking over the world. So that's kind of interesting. And we like Iceberg here. So Trino and Iceberg is
taking over the world.
Yeah, it's the data lakehouse is rising in popularity. You know, being able to leverage the benefits of a data lake, but also a data warehouse with that transactionality is a pretty big deal. So all three of them, I think, are going to continue to pick up steam as more and more companies look to modern solutions for their data problems.
So for those of us that missed the summit, like myself, other videos and slides and stuff.
Yeah, I believe recordings were all available for the Iceberg Summit. So if you want to go listen, you can. I would recommend in particular, there was a talk from Netflix that was pretty interesting, which I need to watch a recording of because I saw notes of it and was like, wow, that seems really cool. But I didn't watch it live because I was on the other track at the time. So
cool. Of course, Netflix and Ryan Blue and others have all been guests at the Trino Community Broadcast in the past. So there's old episodes from Trino Community Broadcast about Iceberg and Trino. A must to look at as well. So if you want to browse our back catalog. And of course, also the Trino YouTube channel has videos from the Trino Fest and Trino Summit recordings where Iceberg has always been featuring pretty prominently. So lots of videos to check out, huh?
Yeah. But with all of that said, Manfred, we have a guest to get to.
Yeah. Who's that guest?
I forgot to ask how it's pronounced. I'm just going to say Issa and skip the last name. Issa can clarify when he shows up. But we have a data expert from Best Seeker. Issa, welcome to the Trino Community Broadcast. And as I freeze up, you can tell the world what your full name is without any risk of some American saying it wrong.
So yeah, hi, my name is Issa Inalcik or Inalcik. It's a Turkish name. Actually, I was born in Turkey and came to Germany when I was 15. So I am based in Germany and I am working as principal data engineer at Best Secret, which is an e-commerce company selling brand, like clothes and brands like at an off price. So we are quite big in Europe, I think. So it's great. And yeah. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, welcome to the Trino Community Broadcast. We're happy to have you. We've got you here for a particular reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, we found out about Issa because he's a Starburst customer and also he's a prolific writer. He wrote a blog post about, hang on, let me go back to this show notes here. In the show notes, we see you wrote a blog post about maximizing performance with the Kata Scaler on Medium, and then you wrote one about OPA, Open Policy Agency, and Open Telemetry. So you're a prolific writer, but then you also showed up with an AI, generate AI functions in Trino blog post, and that's what we're going to cover today. So tell us more about your Trino usage and like experience with Trino and how you got to have the idea you should be writing about this stuff, which is really cool, I think.
Sure. So yeah, when I joined Best Secret, we were using Snowflake actually, but so we wanted to be more open format. So we were looking at alternatives, and so Trino was so easy to do a proof of concept. So we started with a small Trino cluster where we had added like one Hive catalog where we were moving the data from Snowflake to serve Looker as our BI tool. And so with that, like we were looking at Iceberg too. So actually, like what you have told in the previous section, we are already using all of it. Like we are currently operating on one Starburst cluster and 3 to 4 Trino clusters. They are all behind Trino Gateway, and like we have a Trino ETL cluster, then 3 clusters for BI and stuff. And what was special about Trino was too, like, so we have a bunch of custom functions at Best Secret. We were using them on Snowflake too, but so we wanted to migrate them too. And we were looking at Trino, how we can do it. Back then, the SQL routines weren't in place on Trino. So we found out about, you know, SPI, like this service.
The service provider interface, yeah.
Yeah, so that. So we implemented then some custom functions over that. And as the AI came out and all the LLMs and stuff, so it inspired me. So like I thought, okay, so everybody's building chatbots or like some GUI chats or Streamlit apps. And I thought like it would be really helpful to bring the LLM really near to the data where the data sits. So you can like directly apply into, you know, via SQL AI on the row level data. Or column, like row column level data, yeah. So when there are like, so this is still an experimental phase for us or for me, like I developed it first by myself, but there are some use cases I think which are really interesting, like you using it for masking data, like for example, if you have, so you want to send data or embeddings to other LLMs, but you want to have them masked. And if the data is unstructured, it's really hard to detect sensitive data in that string and then mask them. But LLMs can do that easily. Like you just prompt it and say like, find and mask the sensitive data, and it does it. So there are like a couple use cases we can go. So that's,
so you
like,
played around with that already, or?
Yeah, only locally for now. And like I'm not sending data directly to any like provided services like OpenAI or
yeah,
like
you can
other
use
ones. I am using OLLama, which is like where you can run LLMs locally on your computer or on a server, like in a private cloud. And I am using Llama 3 for now, but I have tested it like with couple other models too. And yeah, based on the model, you have to adjust a little bit your prompts. So, but it's like pluggable. Like you can switch between Azure OpenAI or OpenAI or like Grok now with Llama 3 or any like any LLM which supports OpenAI API spec can be used. Like you just change the API key and the endpoint. So it's working that way. Yeah. And okay. So I have like, we have thought about some other use cases, like, so sentiment analysis, like for example, for customer feedback, like for example, you are getting customer feedback from Salesforce and there is a connector for that on Trino L already. So, or you can like ingest it via API. And so you could like analyze customer feedback or customer messages with this, like if they are positive, negative, or like categorize them, or you could actually answer them automatically as well. Yeah. So based like if you have like, if the answer is clear, you could do like, so for, there are like usually questions like, okay, how long is the return policy? Like 30 days. In 30 days, you can send back the clothes or something. Like this kind of questions, you could actually automatically answer. I mean, maybe you don't even need LLM for this, but
yeah, like there's chatbots for a lot of those.
Yeah, things. So there are like some kind, or it can translate. It can. So it's like there are no limits actually. It is like based on the prompt, but. But you can do like outside of Trino, you can do it here now too. Like you just have to implement these functions in SPI and
yeah. So let's prompt. Go back yeah. to that high level for a little bit. So you were saying that BestSecret has a couple of different clusters behind Trino Gateway, and you mentioned the SPI and functions. So the SPI, that's a service provider interface. That's kind of what you have to implement when you write a Trino plugin, right? So
yes,
and a Trino plugin is typically a connector, but in your case you're providing custom functions. You were talking about Snowflake functions. Are you a Java developer? Like how easy was that to get into that?
So for me, I am more experienced in Python. I have some Scala experience and a little bit like, so beginner level of experience of Java, like from my old employer. Like where we were using Spark in connection with Scala and Java. It's only that. And for me, it was a bit hard. So I have to admit, like, I have used a little bit so ChatGPT or other LLMs
like, help.
So I gave the documentation and like or some of parts of our code or like asking how can I implement that part or things. And but yeah, I know, like, so I am really good like in Docker and Helm and stuff, so how I can build Maven projects and stuff and how to run them. And then the code is like just, I mean, at the end, the syntax is a little bit different than Python. So yeah, it was quite easy to implement, I guess.
So what kind of functions did you look at there before you went to the generative IR functions? You were talking about functions that you needed to implement to help you with your migration from Snowflake. What are some of the
For example, we have a function, like a custom function we have developed. So we always compare like the calendar week from this year with the previous year, but they have to be like in a specific way, like to be compared. So we have a function for that. It's like adjusted week, it's called, like that kind of function. Or we have some duration logic where we calculate like for logistics, like how the items are moving and stuff. So like that kind of custom functions we already had implemented in this using the SPI. So like there you can implement scalar functions or like the aggregation functions and other things. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you package those, like you wrote those functions in your plugin.
Yeah,
we package it up as a module and then you're deploying it into your
clusters. Yes. So during deployment, we have a mechanism like this. Init containers can pull the package and place into the plugins folder, and then it starts up from there. Yeah.
Cool. So, and anyone can obviously do that, right? Like, I mean,
yeah,
this is documented in our developer documentation, and then so that's a good way to write custom functions that are more complex. You mentioned,
I think,
also
Trino Helm chart supports it too. Like, so it supports init containers. So if you, I think there are already like other custom plugins too. Like, for example, we are using one which is called Trino Storage,
where you that's actually from Jan, yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I think that one is not from him. I think
maybe not.
I have been using Trino Faker from Jan, but so like it's similar at the end, like it's like a catalog. So you just pull the package, extract the contents to the plugins folder, and if you start your Trino cluster, it already has the plugin, so it's running then.
And the main thing then you have to take into account is that you're on the right Trino version.
Yeah, so you
SPI changes. So
what we have is like whenever a version is released, we go and like recompile everything like with the new version, because we take in the Maven settings, we have the Trino project as the parent, and the custom plugin pulls then the provided parts and things.
Oh yeah. So you have a separate Maven project that uses the main project as a parent, which then means all you have to do is change the version.
Yeah.
Cross and then your maybe fingers and hope it will compile.
So if nothing is broken through the changes, then it will compile. Otherwise, you have to go and find out what to fix. Yeah.
Okay.
But and then I have shared the repository, so like it is in GitHub.
That's for the generative AI.
Let's look
at that in a bit. But like generally, you compile it and you then cut a release, get it deployed somewhere, and then the binary gets downloaded, right?
So how we have it, like we have a bigger repo, like where Starburst and Trino charts are inside. Like we have custom charts too, because we need some custom annotations and other things. And so whenever we do a change, they build the plugins automatically. They put them in a blob storage.
Okay. So
and then we get their URLs and they are placed into the init containers. So they then, so whenever Trino or Starburst starts, it downloads it, extracts it to the plugins folder, and then it is already there. So that's like quite good. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's really good. That's a good way to deal with custom plugins downloading on the fly.
Yeah.
Another option is to have a custom Docker container, but then that's
we like to stay as close as to the original one, because if Trino gets updated, then we don't have to change much.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That's cool.
Like maintaining is then a lot easier that way.
Cool. And then you were saying, even for writing your plugin, function, you already use the AI tools to help you. So.
No, not the custom functions. Like back then, I think the AI wasn't that strong. We started doing this already 1.5 years ago. So because custom functions were there like already before ChatGPT or anything else. Like, I think we have looked like on existing plugins and functions from Trino, and based on it we implement them.
And then you got into the AIs, and obviously now you know a lot about it. So you talked about some use cases already. Sentiment analysis and
masking.
In your blog post, you also had a whole bunch of others, like extracting images, extracting information out of other data, like image and stuff like that. That whole multimodal AI stuff has been very big recently. Have you played with that already as well, or
not in Trino, but we have had some hackathons, like where we extract attributes from images. Like, for example, categorize. So let's say you have a t-shirt on and you categorize it, like, is it sporty or whatever, or is it like... there are like some required attributes in the data, like then you can use this data to put on your web shop as description or whatever.
You can search by color and stuff like that.
The idea behind it with that was like, since, like you said, there are multimodal LLMs, so you could use Trino like to talk to that endpoint and get the categorization or like extraction via Trino, because at the end you have to ingest the data again anyways back to Starburst or in Trino to serve other applications. Why not do it like directly in Trino?
Yeah, that's very cool. Now, do you want to maybe share or show us your repository or code? Do you have other things you want to ask or talk about?
Let's pull up the. I have questions, but I'll see it first, and then I'll start asking.
Okay. So, don't let me share any secrets on the screen. It's just like a classic Java Maven repository. Like you have here the POM XML, and this is taking actually the Trino repo, and in the code we have like you have one main Java class, like where you register your functions. And then you can create different other functions, like, for example, AI mask. So it's at the end a Java function with some decorators, like on the function. So this is all documented on official Trino documentation, like what kind of... So, for example, if you want to implement a scalar function, so it's already documented. So you put like your description for the function, then the function name and what kind of return type it has. Like we return usually on the LLM varchars if it is nullable, and then your input, then you can do like your logic inside it.
Yeah, once that's compiled and running, the reason this description and stuff is necessary is so that users can go show functions and it shows up, right? So yeah, users can know about it. It's not just a secret feature.
Yeah, it is not. It is like at the end, it converts it that it can speak as a SQL syntax, I guess, because like since you do like select AI mask, like that the syntax knows it. So
yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you literally
So we have some helper functions here, like the AI service or chat request, like so where you can define the system instruction, add some custom instruction, or like
So you implemented this SPI, but like it needs to have the model and like the whole that. How did you figure out how to integrate the LLM itself into like the, you were saying you're not going out to the cloud. So you're shipping an LLM model as part of the plugin somehow.
I have installed OLLama locally on my computer. So I have a computer with a good graphics card. So only if you have a good graphics card or GPU, you can run them. I think there are some Apple models which can run too, like with M2 and as well. Mm-hmm. Or you create like in cloud a VM and you can install it like privately there too. Like, so if you create a VM, like a virtual machine with a GPU, you could install their old OLLama and then pull whatever model you need. And
OLLama, that's a GitHub open source project that allows it to provision different LLM models via some interface or something, right?
So at the end, so I think they have packaged the models like into small repositories or libraries. So they are providing already like the API endpoint and like how this API endpoint can communicate with the LLM and everything. So you just have like, it's an easy way to run LLMs locally or on private cloud. Yeah.
Okay. But so your plugin doesn't actually include the LLM.
It talks to
OLLama on the machine that Trino runs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it talks to any REST API point where LLM runs with open API spec. Oh,
okay. All right. So
I don't want to show them, but so let me show maybe the README. So what you do is let me check.
Okay, basically.
So here, like you would create an .n file or you would create environment variables in your Trino environment, and then you need to define your API model. Like in my case, it is Llama 3, then API key. OLLama doesn't need any API key, but if you would use open AIs, then you would need that one and the endpoint, like with the V1 completions and ending. Yeah.
Okay, you're leaving all that provisioning to OLLama and not including it in your plugin. You just don't.
No, it's not. It is. I mean, so like I said, I am not an expert on Java. I think this can be done via config files like Trino does it or properties files, but I have done it here, like in this case, via environment variables. So you just need to provide the endpoint and model name in the environment and then it can work. Like you could use, like I said, Azure OpenAI or other providers.
Yeah, I think that's actually a very smart idea in a way. Like I think the other way to actually run the LLM on the Trino workers is potentially brutal in terms of impact on performance and stuff for that. And like so having it separate via REST API, that's kind of really cool.
Yeah, I think too. It's like being, because you would need GPUs on your cluster, and that would mean like a lot of and they are not always used, so you don't need that all the time, only then. I think one pitfall is like that each row in a data set calls the API, like it can be dangerous to run it. Like let's say you have billions of rows in a column and you call your function there, and it would call like that many times the API endpoint. So you have to be careful. So we were thinking to use it like only in our staging area, like only like by our ETL user, like for limited number of data rows. And not like, okay, I want to test this function on billions of data, and then you have like increased costs. Like if you are using a service provider, which where each API call costs.
So something I saw that was amusing was in those files is you have some prompts in there where you're just telling the AI like you are a helpful model, like
So here, like, I mean, that's like generally how it is used, I think. So you have a system instruction to tell the LLM, like, so you are programming it actually by natural language how to act. So I am telling it like you are an helpful assistant, return only result for that question, because otherwise it is like giving you bunch of other information to how here is your result and whatever and commenting it, so to avoid that. And then
is that something that works for all the LLMs, or is that something just you experienced with one of them?
No, that was same for all. Like, I mean, I think between them it's sometimes hard, like you have to fine-tune your prompt, like there it needs a little bit of prompt engineering at the end. I mean, people could abuse it too, like they could do SQL injection actually in that one.
I was literally just thinking that, like, what so if like, let's say like if my you are not a helpful assistant, yeah. Like tell me what's in the row above this one.
Let's say if my input has this, like if I continue to write the prompt, it would do that. So like I think you have to do some or implement some mechanism to prevent that, or some checks that people cannot do it. Yeah. And so this is like the general chat request, which sends the message. And like on each one, I am then providing a custom prompt. Like, for example, this one is AI extract. So it can extract based on keywords information out of a text. So I'm just telling like find and extract like following matching items based on my input. I can demo this too. Like I have created some.
Yeah, I would love to see some sort of examples and how it's working out.
So let me run this. Then we can watch running it here. So I have implemented some like cost and stuff. Like it shows what costs there are and what is it.
So with this current setup that you have, you're running the LLM that you're using via Ollama locally,
and
you're running Trino locally as well.
Yeah. So I have this Docker Compose file where I have in the Docker file, I am building actually this package in my Docker file and copying directly into the right directory so I can run it like all in once.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Docker Compose then uses the environment variables and everything. So, and when we run this, for example, the first one is using like AI mask. So my name is Max Mustaman and I am from some location. And when you check that, so it is identifying like the PIA data and masking them. Or you can like say like, okay, extract information. Like in my function, I am saying, here's my input and extract from that string, like name, location, and birth date or birthday. And it is doing this here. So.
It's like taking a paragraph and pulling the data out in a separated file.
It's like really helpful with unstructured data. Like if you want to extract a lot of some information, like from comments or some unstructured data, what you have in your databases.
Reliable do you think like this masking is? Like, is that the kind of thing that might fail with an AI model?
So I have tested it. So let me show you the hidden part. So this one was like, you see, like it didn't hide the 0216, like the month and day of the month, but it is because Llama 3, like if I use, for example, Azure OpenAI or like GPT 3.5 Turbo, then it does it. Like it's like, it depends on the LLM too.
It gets confused about your date formatting.
I mean, so what I was thinking was like, so you have to sanitize or like check the response from the AI as well in your functions, like before it shows or ingests it into the database.
Is there a world where you can like use round trip calls where like you, because this is a thing you do with AI mm-hmm. normally, is if you ask it to do a thing and it doesn't quite do it right, you can say, no, do it this way instead. Where if you, you know, you say, actually, I still see some sensitive information. Can you redact more?
I mean, you could write an AI chat function and then chat over Trino with the LLM. Like you then, so you could define your inputs like a system instruction and user instructions, and then it would just like you could chat through SQL with LLM actually. But I think another idea I have is, so you get the answer and you could send it again to verify to LLM, like, and then like you make a two turn to sanitize your response, like let it check, okay, if it really masked all of the data.
But it's,
I think that's like
essentially how Langchain, that stuff is non-deterministic, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, you have to think of this a little bit as an experiment.
Right? Yeah,
I think it has a lot of potential, and yeah, it needs some adjustment and testing and fine-tuning for production level usage.
I think it's crazy though. Like, this is like a rudimentary experimental, like relatively simple first try at something like mm-hmm. this. But over time, it only gets better, which is like the crazy thing to me. Like, this is already on the verge of being incredibly useful. Like, the sentiment analysis just works. Like, that's a positive sentiment.
It's, for example, it's just this one, yeah.
And it's not like there's like a better alternative for sentiment analysis. You know, like an LLM is the best way to gauge sentiment of something. So it's not like the inaccuracy is a downside there. That's just as good as it's going
to
get. So
I mean, you have to think of it too, like from a business perspective. Let's say you have like long descriptions of products, and you have this AI summarize, and so on your web page you want to have like a small description with 100 characters and then a long one, and you could apply this on that and generate your content on your web page,
like you write the long one and then you get the LLM to shut
it down. This seems super useful already, so like the fact that it's experimental and already doing so many different powerful things is crazy to me.
I mean, based on LLM, it can translate like between languages. If the LLM supports it, this supports it too. Or what I have, like detecting languages, you know, it might be helpful.
Yeah, that can route you to a like an agent who speaks that language or something like that. So,
and there is one use case I want to really apply this is fraud detection. Like, so because you have, for example, data from Google Analytics, like who visits your web page at what times, and you could get this data and put into LLM, and it can tell you like, oh, like it can flag the users as fraud, like if they are scraping your web page or something, or abusing anything. Or other use cases, like I think there are many.
Cool. So that project is available where? Can you like let us know? Like, is that available anywhere? Or
it is. Let me show you.
We can pull your screen off while you find it if you'd like.
Yeah, I let me pull it out.
Okay, there we go.
here. So. Okay. You can share again.
There we go.
Yeah, it is here, like in my public repository. And I have provided some information like how to build and run it.
That's super nice. Thank you so much for making this available for others to play with as well.
Perfect, yeah.
And if you're watching this and you think it's very cool, go open a pull request to improve it.
So for example, my build stage is failing. I don't know how to. It's like usually we are using GitLab, so I am not that experienced on GitHub workflows.
Oh, you need a GitHub Action workflow.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, this can be improved, like moving API keys or configs to config files, implementing tests, or like making it more modular, or like it can. I mean, if it is at some point really good, we could contribute it to Trino 2 as a plugin.
So you can see a future where Trino has like a feature set of a bunch, I don't know, like I guess a bunch of AI related functions.
Yeah, why not? I think it would be really useful for, because so in other cases, like you have to use a Python package or any package to extract first the data from like your database and send to LLM, get it back. But here you don't even need to extract it. So you can just like do select.
Yeah, AI, you read it, and you then send it, you get a result. Yeah, so.
And you can directly insert it back to your table.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you could. Like, I mean, these are just all functions, right? So you could literally do a create table statement where, or like an update statement where you batch update. Like you have a whole bunch of feedback and then you run an update query that adds all the translation or the sentiment analysis every day and whatever. And like, that's really cool.
Yeah, just be careful with the number of API calls.
Yeah, unless you want a really big bill.
Well, so there's open source models you can use, but even then you need to take advantage of like, you know, some free credits on your cloud hosting or whatever, because the processing alone will already cost.
Yeah, the compute adds up.
Yeah.
Yeah, or you buy a bunch of GPUs and install them at home.
Hey, you know, if you got swept up in the Bitcoin mining phase and you realize maybe that's not for you, it's here's a use for all those GPUs now. So
we are looking right now at some use cases, and I want to like utilize it in next month, like when we align on our side, like in basically.
Yeah, that's super interesting. So you've been playing with a bunch of different models then, like what's your impression of the different ones, right? Like there's models, there's all the like Llama 3 from Meta, and then there's like the various Google models and OpenAI obviously.
So I used like this Phi 3 from Microsoft, like with this small one. Then I used Mistral AI.
That's the one out of France, right?
Yeah, so from this three, like Llama 3 7B is like my computer can run 7B only, like not the big one. Mm-hmm. So from the open source ones, Llama 3 is quite good and Mistral too. But the best results were like with GPT 3.5 Turbo or like GPT 4.
Sorry, not a huge surprise.
Yeah.
So there's a model that I saw a presentation about at the Open Source Summit called Olmo.
Mm-hmm.
That also seems to be very good. That's completely open source. That may be worth trying. I'm not sure if there's Llama.
I mean, if there would be like let's say you have a model which is like trained for this, like fine-tuned for this kind of, it would be much better. Like because, and or if it was like so small that it can run in Trino cluster itself, would be too, like, because I think in the future there will be like not one general LLM but more like experts, like a data engineer or data scientist. There will be like LLMs for specific tasks.
Yeah,
and
we need like a Kuma. Really, so if anyone is out there and keen on doing that, I had this idea, and I think we need a Commander Banban AI that knows everything about Trino and
SQL data.
But exactly. I actually do is like, for example, I parse the whole documentation of Trino and feed it like as embedding to chat. Like I have a chatbot for myself where I can then like ask questions about Trino and do things like.
Oh, cool. Okay.
What tool did you use to like
I'm just using Python to combine all of the Like I have developed a REG application, this retrieval augmented generation. So it reads the documentation of Trino. Like it first concatenates all the markdown files from Trino, and then generates out of it vectors and puts them in a database, and then you can ask questions about Trino or Starburst.
So what did you like? What did you use for that tooling? Like
I am using LangChain there a little bit, and then I mean there are a bunch of vector databases, so I used it locally, like this LanceDB I tried out or ChromaDB, and I was using it with Azure OpenAI endpoint, but I tried it with OLLAMA as well. It works as good because REG applications are like a little bit easier, I think, for LLMs because it gets like, so the search finds place in the vector database. So it already like delivers some relevant information, and then the model just formulates the sentences or like.
Yeah, it does the grammar.
Yeah, does other things. Yeah, why not? And I think in these cases, you could even deploy it on Trino web page and have a chatbot like ask questions.
Yeah, I think that would be fun.
A fun project.
That's very fascinating. It's very cool. It's amazing all the things you're playing with and like how engaged you are. All your blog posts and stuff. It's really cool. Like,
yeah, that's great. At Best Secret, they give us like a lot of room to try out technologies like which are on the edge. Mm-hmm. So we are like always with the newest technologies. Playing around, and like when it is useful, we implement it into our
It's obviously benefiting benefiting Best Secret. I mean, you're putting their name out there, you're learning a lot of skills. I'm sure you're saving them a lot of money with using all these cool tools and like really good approaches. So that's very nice.
Yeah, I think this KEDA, like the dynamic scaling, was the biggest improvement that we had. Because the users are much more happy now, it detects automatically like if the memory in your cluster gets a bit like below a threshold, it already scales up then, or if your Qt queries are like greater than some level, it scales up, and otherwise it scales down. It saves already some resources on the Kubernetes clusters, but like on demand it provides then the resources for the users. So
just to like explain that to others that might not necessarily know. So
yeah,
the KEDA scaler, like typically auto scaling in auto scaling a Trino cluster is not something that our Helm chart does. But the Starburst does, and the Trino one now does it as well a little bit. But you improved it, right? Because the normal scaling is not done by memory, from what I remember.
No. So the normal scaling is using CPU. And I think there was Qt queries too on Starburst side. But we wanted to have memory too. Because so like if you imagine if Trino runs if Trino worker runs, it reserves already like the whole memory because it's JVM. So
yeah,
it's hard for Kubernetes to know how much memory is being used. And for the normal horizontal pod scaler is not like sufficient for that. And we had already installed a KEDA operator on our clusters. And I had the idea like, okay, let's use some custom metrics because we are already extracting the Prometheus, like the JMX metrics from Trino to Prometheus, and KEDA has operators like it can read from Prometheus the metrics, or other providers like Datadog and other things. Like I think the OpenTelemetry as well, it will be supported soon. And so CPU, like we are now using three metrics always: CPU usage, memory, like memory, but in the case of we defined like our own metric, which is like called memory pressure index, like it checks all the time the whole memory on the cluster, and if it gets like below 100 gigabytes, it scales up, and then the Qt queries. But so there is no limit either, you know, like you could build your own custom metrics based on the GMX input. Yeah, that's like that's really very cool. Dynamic. Great thing.
Lisa, thank you very much for introducing this to the world. I'm excited for, you know, however many months from now when this is mature, the models are better, and like this is just a built-in Trino plugin. I think that is a future approaching us. You know, someone's watching this video 2 years from now, like, why are they still talking about GPT 3.5? Like, we're on Trino. So that's really exciting. And once again, thank you so much. This was a super interesting episode. And I think this is the first time in the Trino space that we've like done an episode where we're really discussing AI in depth. So it's good for us hop on board the wave.
Yeah, and yeah. I want to invite the people, like if someone wants to help or like contribute this back into the Trino, like I am not an expert in Java, like it was like a POC for me, but so if someone is really good in Java and can make this like really modular and like mature enough to contribute back, then they're welcome, man.
Well, cool. You've heard it, everyone, folks. And Issa, once again, thank you one final time. And then, Manfred, we have to wrap up with just a few more things.
Yeah, let's do that. Thank you again, Issa. Awesome to have you. And that's a good kind of move over to the next thing, because TrinoFest is coming up.
Yeah, so TrinoFest is in just a few weeks. It'll be in June in Boston, or virtual, whichever one you prefer. We have the speaker lineup finalized. You've got talks from Apple, Amazon, Microsoft. So those are some big names, as well as some smaller names and people from within the Trino community. I'm excited for the talk from Executive Homes, which I think will be pretty fascinating about Trino at kind of small scale.
Yeah, and you know, talking about AI, we also have a talk from Character AI and LanceDB.
Yeah, that'll be our second foray into AI in the Trino space. But we got there first with this episode of the Trino Community Broadcast. But there's more to come. So if you haven't registered already, please do so. If you're going to attend in person, we have a hotel block at the hotel where the event is taking place. Make sure to book your room there. Slots are filling up fast. If you're going to go virtually, sign up whenever you'd like. The earlier, the better. I believe maybe we were giving out free T-shirts to people signing up within a certain time. So check that out if you like the idea of getting a free Trino shirt. Special thanks to all of our sponsors for making the event happen. So Starburst is the event host, but we also have Alluxio, Cloudinary, OneHouse, StarTree, and Upsolver. That's a really great lineup of sponsors, Manfred. I think that's the most sponsors we've had for a Trino event.
Yeah, I mean, the Trino community is growing. Commander Banban is everywhere, and everyone wants to help us. And that's great, I think. And we love that kind of engagement. And I'm sure it's going to be super interesting again. Also, on the next day in Boston, we have a in-person event, the Contrino Contributor Congregation, where, again, a whole bunch of hackers from the community, including myself and Cole and Martin, Dane, David, and various other companies from the Trino contributions will join us and discuss Trino Gateway, like, and a whole bunch of technical aspects.
Yeah, I think we've got 4 hours on the calendar. If you have something that you wanted to discuss with Trino maintainers, then it's a great opportunity to do so. If you're just curious what goes on behind the scenes when we're talking about the roadmap or what's going on inside Trino, that's a great opportunity. So if you're going to be attending in person, that's another chance to get to know Trino a little better and talk to the people who work on it. So we're excited for that. And yeah, that's going to be the day right after Trino Fest. So you can stay for several days and get two for the price of one for your Trino trip.
And as Cole always says, summer, early summer / late spring in Boston is pretty nice.
Yeah, this the event is it's on Thursday and the contributor congregation is on Friday. So stay the weekend in Boston and go do some tourism. It's a really nice time of year to be in that city. So
Cool. And for those of you that cannot make it to the fest in person, that's totally fine. You can join us virtually. So please make sure you register. And also, we do have a Contrino contributor call happening actually tomorrow, where we do the similar tech talk about contributions just on a virtual call. Again, recording will be made available for those that missed the event. But of course, if you want to be part of the discussion, you need to join us on time.
Manfred, how do we join the contributor congregation and contributor call?
I will post the Zoom channel, the Zoom link in the dev channel. I'll also put it on the wiki page for it. And also you can contact me and then I'll add you on the invite and then you have it on your calendar.
And for the contributor congregation in person in Boston, you'll need to contact us on Slack, either me or Manfred on Slack. You can find us on the Trino Slack. You can find the Trino Slack on the Trino website. So reach out to us directly and then we can get you added to the invite list for that. So
exactly. Should be super exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
I am as well. Amazing. I'm excited to see the faces of Trino in person. This is only going to be our second in-person Trino event while I've been fully immersed in the Trino community. So I'm super excited and looking forward to catching up with everyone once more. But I think that's it from us today. Once again, thank you to Issa for the talk on making AI work with Trino. I think that's something we'll be seeing more of in the coming months and years. So it's good to let the dam burst and see that first experimental implementation of it.
Yeah. Issa the trailblazer. Nicely done. Thank you so much.
In case, thank you all for tuning in and until next time.
Music for the show is from the Mega Man 6 gameplay album by Krzysztof Swawikowski. Don't forget to give us a star on the Trino repository at github.com/TrinoDB/Trino. And for more information on future shows and to find show notes, check out trino.io/broadcast.